The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We do thank you for joining us. And we are going to share a news story and ask you to respond to it. It's one that Daniel, who works on the program part-time, gave to me earlier just because of the headline. And the headline in and itself is rather interesting. But when you read the body of the article, it's really rife with potential conversation here. And I'd love to hear your response to what I'm about to share. Now, Liberty University was in the news recently for not such good things, and things have quieted down. And all of a sudden, now this story is somewhat in the public eye. Here's the headline. I messed up. President of Christian University apologizes for leading a massive on-campus snowball fight. Now, just let it sit there for a moment. Anyone that has been to the Midwest or back east as a child, one of the many blessings of season change is to partake in a snowball fight. It's one of the sweetest things growing up that I have memories of, and I'm sure many of you have as well. So the president of Liberty University somehow messed up. Let's read what happened. The head of a prominent Christian university has apologized after getting involved in a mass snowball fight on campus. Liberty University President Jerry Prevo, or Prevo, I don't know the pronunciation. I'll just say Prevo, so I don't have to keep going back and clarifying. Liberty University President Jerry Prevo said he was a chief instigator of the fight, which saw hundreds of maskless students openly flouting social distancing guidelines. Shameful. Having lived in a snow-laden area of Alaska for the majority of my life, said Prevo, and spurred on by, quote, a lifetime of memories of joy spent in outdoor winter fun with friends, Prevo decided to wade out into the snow and get involved. Quote, I donned my gloves and coat and headed outside and immediately engaged in some snowball fights with a few students. From that small beginning, I invited them to meet on the front lawn to continue the fun with more students. The student body took to the idea. They showed up in large numbers and had the snowball fight. I stood front and center and led this event, end quote. Now, before we share more, what do you think so far? What do you think of that? 888-528-2557. A big snowball fight on campus with the president being his word, the instigator. 888-528-2557. So what transpired following this incident? Many responded to Liberty social media postings about the event with accusations that they were putting the community at risk. Quote, snowball fight is a weird way to spell super spreader event. Another added, we're in the middle of a pandemic in case you weren't aware. Now, Prevo admitted that he had made a mistake in allowing the fight to go ahead without some of the restrictions put in place. The headline again read, I messed up. So was that enough for him to just say, all right, I made a mistake. I messed up. Time to move on. 888-528-2557. Is this on, Wilbert? Oh, boy. No, I'm serious. Your thoughts, first, and before we really get into the meat of the story, right? He has a snowball fight with a few of the students. Kind of makes the announcement. A bunch of them show up. They have a great snowball fight. No masks. Oh, my goodness. Prevost said, I messed up. We did not think through or communicate the need to wear facial coverings and remain 6 feet apart in compliance with Virginia governor's executive orders for the suppression of the spread of COVID-19 or even our own COVID-19 operations plan. And the size of the group was not in compliance either. So there's a little more. 888-528-2557. Prevost went on, said that the university has had, quote, a strong record of compliance and containment of COVID-19 from the start, and insisted that the event was not done with a heart of defiance. Okay. We get it. You're apologizing, and maybe it wasn't the wisest thing to do. But he went on. By the way, the theme of this impact segment is apologizing. Like, is this too much? Or maybe you agree. He should lose his job. 888-528-2557. Prevost went on, quote, the mistake was one of being caught up in the moment of the day. I and my leadership team apologize for not leading our students to abide by COVID-19 protocols during this event. Okay, he said it there. I apologize again. Then he went on, I truly am sorry for how this activity may put our students and university in a negative light, potentially diminishing the hard work of many dedicated employees and volunteers. So that's three apologies. Then again, he says later, we rededicate ourselves to our solid commitment to communicating and reinforcing to students, faculty, and staff the mandate to comply with all COVID-19 policies, including physical distancing and the wearing of facial coverings, end quote. Prevost said that all references have been taken down from their social media sites related to the event. And then he closed by saying, I'm firmly committed to the health and safety of our students, as well as their spiritual and emotional health. We hope to foster more fun and excitement for our students in days ahead, but we will do so while abiding by our health and safety protocols. Okay, your thoughts. 888-528-2557. And was an apology in order? Did he apologize too much? Should he maybe be disciplined, or maybe consequences be put forth his way by which he's punished harshly for this poor error in judgment? 888-528-2557. We have one line open. Lisa in Glendale, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. It's Lisa from Glendale. So my comment is this. The issue isn't that it was a snowball fight. The issue is, or that it's a pandemic. The issue is Liberty University. That's the key issue there. They're attacking Christians. They're attacking conservatives. That's the issue.
I'm not following you. Tell me more. What do you mean specifically?
Well, because you're saying that this person, I don't know what his position there at the school is.
He's the president.
He's an administrator.
He's the president.
Oh, he's the president. Okay. So when you read that out, it immediately goes to my attention that it's about attacking Christianity. That's what this is all about here now. It's about attacking Christianity. It's cancel culture. It's we don't like you, so we're going to get you. You know, he said, oops, I made a mistake. That should be fine. That should be it. That should be no other pressing issue about that.
Okay, but not only did he say he was sorry, but he fell all over himself a number of times to keep apologizing.
I know, and that's like even redundant. Why is that even necessary now?
Well, that's one of the questions I'm asking. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate your call. Sandrella in North Hollywood, yes. You're on the Frank Sontag show.
Hi. I agree with the lady that was on the phone. I think that he doesn't need to be apologizing. This is all about attacks on the Christians. It's about, like, the cancel culture, like she said, because I personally have experienced that. I became part of the cancel culture as a Christian when a video of me last year in June in Trader Joe's went completely viral when I was ganged up on and harassed by people after I was given permission not to wear a mask. So I know what is happening. Christians everywhere are being persecuted just because this is what the world that we live in right now. It's part of the New World Order. They want to cancel Christianity. They want to destroy people who are standing up for what is right. That's what it's all about. He does not need to be apologizing. I think that he should see that he's the president of this university. Sounds like he's kind of bowing down to the system. He should not be doing that.
Sandrella, thank you for your call. Now, we've taken two calls, and a large part of your take has been the attack is because it's a Christian university. Okay, that's part of the conversation. I was more interested in his response as the president. Should he have responded? Did he go a bit over the top? Did he not apologize enough? John in Long Beach, you're on the Frank Sontag show.
Hey, how you doing, Frank?
Good, John. How are you?
Great. I think that the leader did the right thing. You know, as a man of God, and as a leader, he stood up and he took responsibility for what he has done. Maybe he didn't think all those things through, but, you know, we're called to respect the government and respect the leadership, and we should be doing that. Now, like he said, you know, he apologized three different times. Maybe he didn't have to do that, but I don't think he should lose his job. But I do think that, you know, he should take responsibility as he did. And if anyone gets sick or something like that, you know, just take responsibility. I mean, unlike Donald Trump, who tells people to go do all this stuff, and then he don't take responsibility.
Whoa. How did you get to Donald Trump? What are you talking about? He did all what and didn't take responsibility? What are you talking about?
Well, it's the same thing. Donald Trump was at a rally. He told people, hey, let's go down there. Let's take this back. Let's walk down there. I'm going to walk down there with you. And then people got hurt. In this incident, people didn't get hurt, did they?
Okay, I'm really confused. You've read a transcript by which, and I don't want to go too long there because it has nothing to do with the story, but what are you saying he said that was so awful? Have you read the, have you seen anything? We've not seen anything from the... It was actually boring. I had people there, friends. He was boring. They were leaving. So what did he say that was so much related to this story that you made that leap of logic? I want to understand.
Well, I'm saying that as a leader, he stood up and called a group together.
350,000 people. He called a group together. Okay, tell me more.
And then, you know, he began to, you know, say certain things, say the things that he felt.
What did he say specifically?
He felt he was mistreated, that the election was stolen from him, and that we need to go get it back. And he specifically said we should walk down there and take it back.
Did he say anything about peacefully? Did he say anything about exercising your right to your view? Did he say anything along those lines?
He didn't say anything peacefully. I mean, if he would have said, hey.
Of course he did. I've got the transcript here. You've misunderstood what was stated. You can find out clearly for yourself, and I can pull it up if you think I'm making this up. He emphasized the word peaceful a number of times. I know that's not what you hear in the mainstream, but I've got the transcript right here. So let's get back to the university president. That aside, so you think he did the right thing as a man? Do you think he went a little over the top with many apologies, like wasn't one enough?
Well, I can understand him being in that situation as a leader. He's apologizing, and then maybe someone said, you know, people made comments to the university, and he, you know, had to respond again, I'm feeling. You know, like people saying that they were, maybe they were too close. maybe, you know, somebody got hit too hard or something. You know, I'm just saying that maybe he thought he needed to do that. I didn't think so.
Okay, that's fair enough. John, thank you for the call. And again, if you want me to get into the transcript of what was actually said on January the 6th, I can do that too. And I haven't really shared my thoughts. Maybe I will at the end of this. 888-528-2557. If you're just joining us, the president of Liberty University, President Jerry Privo, got into a little snowball fight with a few students. He got really excited and then somehow invited them to come onto the front lawn and, you know, kind of spread the word and let's have some fun. Next thing you know, he's in the bullseye of, boy, you talk about acting irresponsibly. Super spreader and middle of a pandemic because they didn't have face masks on and they didn't social distance. Here's a little of my tip of the hand. I mean, let's just, by all means, let's not have any fun at all here. I mean, a spontaneous outbreak of a snowball fight, and the president of a university is falling all over himself and apologizing. Sean in Costa Mesa. Sean, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Good, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Long time listener, and I love being on your show and listening to you all the time. And as far as this goes, you know, the head of the school, he apologized the first time. That should have been enough. He didn't have to keep apologizing. You know, he didn't have to keep falling all over himself and keep reiterating it. He made a mistake. It's not like a mandate is an actual law. It is a suggestion. So, you know, we should give the guy a little grace and a little mercy and, you know, move on from it.
Well, and that's an interesting way in which you stated that. We should move on. We'll see. If this is just okay, he apologized and we're going to move on. We'll see if there's more repercussions here. I'm not really reading into it. In fact, let's talk to another Sean. Sean in La Mirada. Sean, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, Frank?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, first, let me just say your radio show, I just stumbled upon it, and it's a breath of fresh air. Finally, someone that's in the church that's speaking, you know, boldness, courageousness, and espousing those values. And, you know, I just think this university case is the epitome of irony for a university, Christian university, that is titled Liberty University, you know, kowtows the appeasement of, you know, tyranny of all these, you know, unmedical, unproven, doesn't help anything, social distancing. It's just, you know, essentially the plandemic. So I think this guy, he was a coward. The Bible says, you know, the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no one pursues. And to your earlier point about reading the Bible, I think more people, they need to crack open the Bible, read it, you know, allow the Spirit and the Word to work in them and let themselves grow and flourish. And, you know, people need to think for themselves and not follow these church leaders today, which were largely leading social clubs. So that's my thoughts on that.
Sean, I appreciate your thoughts. I'm glad you found the program. I hope we hear from you again sometime. And thank you for calling today. Philomene in Granada Hills, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Thank you. Well, first of all, anybody who says this is in the middle of the pandemic is wrong. But having a snowball fight is absolutely healthy. If you don't believe it, go out in 0 degree weather. That's what has to be the snow and below, 32 degrees and below. And hold your hand way out and breathe, and you will not feel any droplets because the steam stays right in front of you. Secondly, you get a lot of energy. People have all this pent-up energy and frustration. This is a healthy way to get it out. And Secondly, he did not have to apologize at all. He should have said, stated the facts, stick to the science, and leave it at that. And I think that was the right thing. To have the snowball fight was something very healthy and a lot of unity that the students should have been doing together.
Philomena, I thank you for the call and for sharing. One of the things he did say is that I'm firmly committed to the health and safety of our students as well as their spiritual and emotional health. Now, I don't want to say a snowball fight is the end all, but you want to talk about emotional health? Anybody that, again, was raised in the Midwest or ever has gotten in a snowball fight or in your youth, it's one of the greatest things that have ever happened. You talk about emotional health, the benefits of that. Now, the article doesn't get into numbers. I don't know if there were 10 or 10,000 that showed up, but I just, what are we giving up? What are we so quick to apologize for? In fact, we have a story from another former president of a university who also has written an op-ed piece on this idea of apologizing. And that's the main reason why I read this. So, president of Liberty University, Jerry Privo, got in a little snowball fight with a few students, said, hey, let's take this to the main lawn, the front lawn, and a bunch of other students showed up. Now, there is a photo here, not that the photo does anybody justice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 students. And of the 9 that you can see, it looks like 3 or 4 have face coverings on. So what really happened here? Oh, my gosh, this is so symbolic of where we are right now. Now, I was going to move on, but we've got a full board, so we'll take more calls. And then near the end of the hour, another former university president has penned an op-ed piece on this idea of apologizing and the culture we live in. 888-528-2557. And we'll take more of your calls next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. If somehow you're just tuning in, we are sharing and responding to a story about a university president who got involved in a snowball fight with some students. Here's one of the quotes. I donned my gloves and coat and headed outside and immediately engaged in some snowball fights with a few students. From that small beginning, I invited them to meet on the front lawn to continue the fun with more students. Student body took to the idea, showed up in large numbers. We had a snowball fight, and I stood front and center and led this event. Then the pushback started when they posted it on social media, on the university site. People saying, hey, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Sounds like a super spreader event. And all the criticism happened. All of a sudden, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake and fell all over himself to apologize. Said I messed up. Your thoughts? By the way, the emails are coming in. A lot of you have a lot to say in via the email. I'll try to read a few of them. 888-528-2557. Is this something he should have apologized for? Abe in Simi Valley. Abe, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank.
So, Abe, yeah, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
There he is. Abe, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I just wanted to say, I don't think he should have responded. I think this is part of the problem is that we've got to stop acknowledging, reacting, and engaging with these types of things because there's a very small number of people that are posting on social media to try to drag us into it. And we've got to be more mature than that. We've got to be more powerful than that. When we engage with people, I think we give away our power around that, you know?
So as a university president, you're saying he shouldn't have just responded, he should have just ignored.
Or even say thank you. Thank you for your response. You know, I think this we're giving them a platform when we engage. for validating their point.
I appreciate your call. Thank you, Abe. We're going to try to take as many calls as we can. We've got a full board. John in Chatsworth. John, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi. I just want to say Governor Newsom went, when they were closed all the restaurants and everything, he went in there and had a big old party. And I know he took his mask off to eat, and he apologized, and it's no big deal. Why should this person step down? He's still the governor.
I'm lost. Who's stepping down, and you say he's still the governor? Are you talking about the university president? Tell me more. I'm trying to follow you.
Okay, Governor Newsom.
Yeah.
He went to a restaurant when it was forbidden.
Yeah, it was like a McDonald's or something, wasn't it? I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that. Continue.
Okay. Anyway, he said he made a mistake. Okay, bye. He's still the governor. What's the big deal?
Right. So as it applies to the university president, are you saying that an apology should be enough? What are you saying?
Yeah, why not? The governor apologized. He's still governor. Why should this, the president of the school step down?
Well, nobody's telling him to step down. That's not part of the story, at least not yet. But he apologized a number of times. John, thank you for the call. Wait, maybe it was a Carl's Jr. that Newsom went to. I it's been so long, I don't remember. Wait, it was a. Wilbur just said he wanted the Popeye's chicken sandwich, the French version, I guess. Chris in Orange, Chris, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello,
Chris, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Frank. I appreciate the. The opportunity. I just wanted to say this is absolute ridiculousness that a president can get involved with his students in a simple snowball fight, which could, in past years, this would be something, a point of camaraderie, some fun, administration getting involved with the students and just having some good old fun. To a point now where this snowflake society has turned into such a point that you have to apologize for a snowball fight? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Chris, I'm grateful for your call. Thank you. Now, I haven't really stated my thoughts clearly, although some of you have said some of the same things. I'll just say this, we'll take more calls, and then we'll end. And Chris made a good point. A university president actually interacting with the students and having fun? Oh, my goodness, what's wrong with this man? Now, I don't know the size of the crowd. Again, there's a photo here. Photos aren't necessarily the end-all, but I'm literally counting 9 students here, 4 of which have masks on. And they're next to each other. There's a couple in the distance. They're down there digging up snowballs. And I'll end with my thoughts. Let me take a few more calls. I just don't want to steer you in one way or another. Sometimes I'm very outspoken, and then all of a sudden the board lights up and everybody agrees with me. I don't want you to agree with me for the sake of agreement. I want your thoughts. University president, snowball fight. Falling all over himself. He messed up. I apologize. What was I thinking? We flouted social distancing rules. Maskless students. I just, it's very interesting. Sandra in Santa Clarita. Sandra, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. So, first of all, the president of that school made the mistake of putting everything on social media. If he wouldn't have put anything on social media, the kids would have had a grand old time, everyone would have had a grand old time, and no one would have known about it. And that was it. Second of all, he shouldn't have said sorry, but I understand he's the president of the school, so sorry one time for not following the state protocol, then that's fine. After that, leave it alone. Let people comment. That's it. Don't fall into saying sorry. That's it. And it's just, it bugs me how people are so, like, so involved in social media that everything they do has to correspond to that. I don't have any social media at all, no Facebook, no all these Snapchats, all this other stuff. Don't have an account whatsoever, and I live my life so happy, so stress-free, and I don't have to respond to anyone. I talk to the people that I want to, communicate to the people I want to, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who posted in terms of social media. Sandra, thank you. My suspicion is the university put it up. And maybe originally the university put it up. I don't know if the president knew, but I'm sure they're thinking, hey, we had some fun. It wasn't until the mob started up. Hey, what are you doing here? I see some students, no masks on. And then it's like, okay, now we got to respond. It's obviously symbolic of where we're at now as a culture. I'm looking at the calls. We've got a break. Dave in L.A., he sees no harm in the snowball fight. Frank in West Hills does not see anything wrong with the fight. He has to live with himself. Let's take Paul in North Hollywood. Paul, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, you know what? I was just wondering, you know, before he should have even apologized or even responded, like, where's the science in all this, you know? Can you do some due diligence and find out, like, you know, how long does a COVID-19 live on a snowball, and when it, you know, hits somebody and it explodes, like, how does that spread? Like, it's just very interesting, you know, to think that, you know, he's apologizing and he's not kind of digging into the research that way.
Well, it's a very interesting point. And one might say, well, what research do you look at? Part of what we hear is a lot of the same research, quote unquote, all about the dangers, and there's so much fear around it. And yet there's scores of other people, doctors and the like, that say, hey, I've got some things here that don't necessarily go along with what we keep hearing. And even if you go with the experts from March 13th to now, they've changed their tune many times. Mr. Fauci early on said, well, why, no, don't wear a mask. And then it's wear a mask. And now it's like wear two masks. He's the largest paid federal employee, by the way. He has a nice little wage of $417,000+. 888-528-2557. There is another former president of a university that's penned an op-ed piece, no connection to the other story, the snowball fight. But he also is weighing in on this idea of apologizing. We'll talk about that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Let me get to a few emails. I'll share my thoughts, and then I'm going to read the piece from a former president of a university talking about the concept of apologizing. Listener Tyson, why do students have to wear a mask to an outside snowball fight? Where's the science for outdoor spread? Good point. I'm only reading just excerpts of emails. Aaron, my thought is perhaps if they called the snowball fight a peaceful protest, it would have been all right. Yeah. And Marie, if Gavin Newsom can make a public rule not to eat in a restaurant and oops a mistake, this university president can say oops and apologize. He over-apologized, but I understand he was trying not to cause a problem with non-believers. Here's my thought. Again, I'm not a university president. All the rigors, all the hoops they got to jump through. If he would have just not said anything. I mean, he went out and he had fun with his students in a snowball fight. What would have happened if he just didn't respond? That would have been my position. Again, I'm not a president. Not fair to even draw that analogy, but I'm sorry. I'm not all about kissing the ring of culture and, oh my gosh, we weren't socially distanced and it's the end of the world. By the way, show me the science that came up with a 6-foot rule. I'll stay there. I'm not going to go long here. I want to read this piece. Now, Dr. Everett Piper is the former president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. He is a deep thinker. He was on the program quite a while ago. And when the whole sexual revolution began, let me try to pull this audio clip up real quick. This was him. Audio is not that good, but you get a little sense of then Dr. Everett Piper.
Well, I believe that ideas have consequences. I'm an educator. I believe that what's taught today in our classrooms will probably be practiced tomorrow in our culture. And when we teach sexual license rather than sexual morality, when we teach that sex is recreational rather than moral, we shouldn't be surprised to find a culture of men that behave licentiously. This is predictable. When we teach that sex is something that you can experiment with rather than something that you should be morally responsible for, I think you can see what you're going to have in culture as a result of that.
So Dr. Everett Piper, again, is the former president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. He's written a commentary at the Washington Times website. Now, I don't know if you know this. There is a push now for evangelicals to apologize for supporting our former president. And Everett Piper has some thoughts on this. We are now officially less than 2 weeks into the Biden administration, and our new president has a list of what we are calling accomplishments, as long as your arm of which he can boast. Bragging points include the degrading of women by telling them they no longer have the right to their own dignity, their own identity, or even their own sports. The denial of science by appointing a man who doesn't even believe in the science of anatomy to be our nation's assistant secretary of health. The execution of our country's youngest babies by celebrating the left's genocidal desire to kill these children just minutes before they're born. The escalation of racism by embracing critical race theory's racist manipulation of race. The destruction of our nation by destroying its borders. For what nation can exist if it no longer has any borders to define its existence? Dr. Everett Piper also shares the return to the insanity of making us dependent on our enemies for the fuel needed to heat our homes, move our cars, and run our military. The evisceration of our economy by telling people the way for them to have more money is for the government to print it rather than let them work for it. And the theft of our religious freedom by forcing all of us to bow to the god-awful religion of government as God. And while all of this has been happening, what has been the cry from our nation's evangelical leaders? Has it been to the prophets of Baal should repent? Has it been that we should stop sacrificing our children to Moloch? Has it been that we should all join Nehemiah with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other as we rebuild the walls of our God-given freedom? Has it been to plead with our nation's leaders to humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways? No, this is not the message we hear from the church's higher echelons of power. In fact, Dr. Piper writes, it's the opposite. It seems that in the progressive spirit of reversing all narratives to suit your own political fancies, that today's church leaders think young David, rather than defying the moral monstrosity called Goliath, instead turned and threw stones at his brothers. Consider the following. Ed Stetzer, head of the Billy Graham Center in Wheaton, Illinois, says, quote, it's time for a reckoning for American evangelical Christians. David French, the senior editor for the Dispatch, calls on evangelicals to publicly apologize to the nation. Joanne Lyon, General Superintendent Emerita, an ambassador of the Wesleyan Church, posts on social media that many parishioners within her own denomination might be unwillingly members of a cult and in need of being, quote, reprogrammed, end quote. What is the mortal sin for which we must repent and be reprogrammed? Millions of Christians dared to stand against the race to hell led by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris by supporting the one man on the ticket who had proven himself willing to stand in their way. But in supporting the orange man, you implicitly endorsed his childish antics and his boorish behavior, they cry. You changed your morality. Piper says there is, however, a problem with this accusation. Put simply, it's not true. He writes, I don't know one biblically grounded Christian who ever endorsed Donald Trump's sins. I know thousands, however, who rightly considered the sins of Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and all those who voted to empower them to be much greater. Failing to see this distinction in sin's moral magnitude is the problem with the ongoing drumbeat of never-Trumpism. Putting Mr. Trump's boorishness on the same moral plane as killing children, denying women's identity, and crushing human freedom simply makes no logical, legal, or biblical sense. Many of us who are faithful followers of Christ believe that if we have a choice between life and death, that we should choose life every time. Millions of the faithful understand that if we can vote for religious freedom and against ideological fascism, we should. We recognize that when the choice is between one cat and another, we must stand with the guy who guards life and liberty, no matter how much of a prurient pagan he may be. To put it another way, we simply have our priorities straight. We understand the nuance of moral significance and moral weight. C.S. Lewis once said, put things first, put first things first, and we get second things thrown in. Put second things first, and we lose both first and second things. Human life and human freedom are first things. Intemperate tweets and tirades are not. Piper writes, for the past 4 years, millions of Americans had their priorities straight. In fact, we refused to change our morality and voted accordingly. Piper writes, I did so in 2016, I did so in 2020, and for that, I will not apologize. Everett Piper is the former president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University and author of the book, Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. Yeah, apologies. There is a place for an apology. I have no qualms with that. But when we look at some of the posturing of people in positions of leadership, where the moment, oh my goodness, somebody may be upset or offended, we fall all over ourselves. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it that way. Or when we share the gospel, God loves everybody. It just kind of begs the question and the stance, doesn't there come a time when we just stand firm and be winsome in not compromising what the gospel says? I yearn for the days when I hear a pastor be kind of transparent and talk about his struggles as if, and again, I mean no mean-spiritedness here, but I've heard so many pastors preach a gospel, and all I could sit and think is, I can never be perfect like them. That the gospel is about forgiveness, ultimately of what Jesus has done for us. That's where true freedom lies. Why are we so afraid? God's word never returns void. Preach God's word. Let the Holy Spirit work in the hearts and minds of everybody. And never a better time than right now. Apologize? No. Love people, but love them enough to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I value your thoughts, your comments, any suggestions. You can email me at franksontag@kkla.com. And this is the Frank Sontag Show.